Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
A few weeks ago, we pickled vegetables to preserve the flavors of summer. Today, it's fruit's turn. We'll talk to a champion jam maker and a couple farmers who grow cantaloupe and raspberries. In the kitchen, we're taking seasonal fruits and dressing them up with flavored syrups. And finally, we'll give you an idea for what to do with the gnarly apples that don't look especially appetizing, apple butter. But first, here's Megan Meyer with a look at this week's news.
A bipartisan congressional committee released an updated version of the Food Safety Modernization Act this week. Some provisions that didn't make it into this version are those offering relief to small farmers, exempting them from some of the bill's new regulations. Also missing? A ban on BPA in food and beverage containers. Senator Dianne Feinstein, one of the proponents of a BPA ban, said she would present an amendment to ban the chemical in baby bottles and other products intended for infants before the floor vote. The bill is slated for a vote after the legislative recess comes to an end next month. At the annual meeting of the Ecological Society of America, a team of ecologists presented a study on how easily genetically modified crops have been escaping into the wild. The study found that 86% of wild-growing canola sampled from North Dakota was genetically modified. The broader consequences of the findings are still being debated, but these Roundup-resistant weeds are forcing farmers to plow their fields again, a weed control practice that contributes to the erosion of topsoil. A federal court of appeals has cleared the way for California almond growers to challenge a USDA regulation requiring the pasteurization of almonds before sale. Growers feel that high demand for unpasteurized or raw almonds, coupled with the lack of pasteurization requirements for imported almonds, will send customers to foreign suppliers. In Russia, the world's largest repository of European fruits and berries is facing imminent destruction in September to make way for housing development. An arbitration court in Moscow rejected an appeal by the Pavlovsk Research Station to maintain control of the land on which the repository is situated until all the samples can be properly relocated, which biodiversity experts say will take 10 to 15 years. It is believed that around 90% of the samples at the Pavlovsk repository no longer exist anywhere else in the world. You can learn more about all of these stories on our website, eartheats.org, or get updates all week long by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/eartheats. For Earth Eats, I'm Megan Meyer.
If you find yourself with a bucket full of peaches or berries, it can be tough to find ways to use them up before they take a turn for the worse. Pickling fruits and making jams and jellies are among the methods you can use to preserve that bounty to enjoy later.
This whole madness started probably 40-some years ago when we moved into our home and my mother gave us a plum tree.
That's Barb Schaller, jam maker extraordinaris. She lives in Burnsville, Minnesota.
And when that tree started producing plums rather prolifically, I didn't do anything with them, and wasn't too long after that I got the word from my husband, who was the grass cutter, that I had best do something with those blankety-blank plums, because they were causing a problem for him on the hill, you know, as they'd rot and get slippery.
Her neighbor suggested that those plums would make wonderful jelly, and from there, her nearly half-decade love affair with canning and pickling began. She started entering her products in the Minnesota State Fair in 1981 and has won countless blue ribbons over the years. First of all, I wanted to know the difference between jams and jellies, conserves and preserves, marmalades and chutneys.
Preserves are the umbrella category. All of the things, the jams, the jellies, conserves, they're all preserves. But preserves are also something else quite specific, and that's cut fruit or whole pieces of fruit, depending on the fruit, like strawberries or raspberries, suspended in a softer gel. And I like to tell folks that preserves are more pourable than spreadable, and jam is more spreadable than pourable. Jellies are made from the juice only, and they are stiffer than jam. A good jelly you can cut, and it will hold its shape on the cleave. jam is more spreadable. Well, jam is softer than jelly, but jam is comprised of crushed fruit suspended in this stiffer gel.
I'm wondering where chutney fits into this.
I have made some chutneys, and to my mind, I would categorize chutneys not as a spread, but as a condiment or a relish.
I am a fan of spicy fruit jams, and I was really happy to see that on your list of award-winning jams recently from the Minnesota State Fair was a spiced tomato jam.
Yes.
That seems really intriguing to me. What do you put in that?
It involves some allspice, cinnamon, and cloves, you know, sweet spices, mm-hmm. lemon rind, and lemon juice, and it does use powdered pectin. Yeah.
Something else that really stuck out to me on the list of award-winning products you make, watermelon pickles.
You have never had watermelon pickles?
No, and I'm having a really hard time thinking of what that would taste like.
Oh, my gosh.
Describe the brine for that. Presumably it's a sweet brine?
Well, I say syrup rather than brine.
Syrup,
because,
okay.
Yeah, because it is sugar-laden. The recipe that I use is an old Farm Journal recipe, actually. The syrup is made from four ingredients: sugar, vinegar, clove oil, and cinnamon oil. And they're really yummy.
I'm having a hard time imagining it. I'm going to have to find some, though. Well, 2 days after speaking with Barb Schaller, I found a jar of pickled watermelon rinds sitting in my mailbox. And she's right, they're delicious. Thanks, Barb. Print out her spiced tomato jam recipe from our website and give it a shot. We'll also post our complete interview where Barb talks about equipment and recipes, and you can find a link to her blog there as well. That's all at eartheats.org. To the kitchen now. We brought some raspberries and melons home from the market, and we're going to make a sweet little sauce to drizzle on top.
When you think of herbs, a lot of times you think of savory things, but they're great to make syrups with. So today we're going to make two different syrups that you can use for breakfast or actually throughout the whole day. A simple syrup is very easy. I'm just measuring out the sugar. I've got 1 cup of sugar, and I'm putting another cup in another pan. Okay, and then we're just going to put the equal amount of tap water. So we add a cup of tap water to each pot, and you bring that to a boil. All right, and that's basically how you make a syrup. So I've got these both on, and now what I'm going to do is to flavor them, and I'm going to make one that's going to be a thyme syrup, and the other one is going to be a mint syrup.
So with the thyme, you just threw everything in. You didn't take the time to pick off the little leaves.
Didn't take the time. It's, yeah, that's about a, I would say if you're going to go to the supermarket, it'd be about a half bunch of thyme still on the twigs, and that will allow me to remove it easily. So what we want to do is to get the essential oils and flavors out of the thyme, and then we'll pull those herbs out, and then if we want to, we can decorate the final dish with some fresh thyme or mint. So I got a nice handful of that. Now we're out in the garden. We picked some mint. I think with the raspberry, we will go with a nice, strong peppermint. So peppermint has kind of long, elongated leaves. It'll have a really nice, punchy flavor. So I'm just going to give these guys a rinse.
Obviously, you're very experienced with these herbs. But looking at this plate, I can't tell one thing from the next.
Well, follow your nose. Rub them between your fingers. There are some mints that are a little more pungent, a little more savory, which will be great in salads and pestos and that kind of thing. So you want to use those more sweeter, like the chocolate mint or the spearmint or the peppermint in your syrups and your sweet dishes. All right, we're going to add a little more depth of flavor to these with the thyme. I'm going to add just a little bit of lime zest. So I've got the microplane, and I'm just going to rub the lime across that, releasing those essential oils. You get that nice citrusy flavor.
Something about lime goes especially well with thyme.
I really like lemon thyme, which is a type of plant. It's a variety of thyme. The fragrance really works well with the kind of earthiness of the regular thyme. So it kind of is a natural match. I'm going to add about a half lime worth of juice as well. And what that will do is cut back on the kind of the sweetness of it, and you know, that acidity will play nicely with the melon. To finish the mint syrup, we're going to do orange. So you could also use lemon. Let me just turn down this heat now that we've come to a full boil and the sugar's dissolved. You can grow an orange mint. So I'm kind of playing off that with the little orange zest and the juice of half an orange. And then to really get those flavors to come out, I'm just going to add a tiny pinch of salt to each of these, which I do a lot with all my sweets. And you don't want to have enough that you really taste the salt, but you want enough to kind of open up your taste buds a little bit, and you'll be able to enjoy the other flavors even more.
The syrups are as simple as that. Check out photos of the prep process and the finished dishes on our website. And while you're online, add your kitchen creations to our Flickr page. From eartheats.org, scroll down to the bottom right and click Add Your Photos. I stopped by the local market to chat with the farmers who grew the cantaloupe and berries we're using in these dishes.
Well, I've got sweet corn, cucumbers, green beans, zucchini, blackberries, cantaloupes.
That's Carl Van Antwerp, who's been farming his whole life. We'll be enjoying his cantaloupe with the thyme and lime syrup.
Yes, this is our first week for them at the market. Oh, we should have them probably into September. Well, we start our plants out in a greenhouse, our little transplants, and then we transplant them into the field usually early May. Of course, we have to fertilize them and irrigate them, and we have to spray for bugs once in a while. No more than we have need to, but we do have to sometimes. The blackberry is probably another 2 weeks maybe. It's kind of a short season on the blackberries.
Another vendor, John Allen Flynn, forages for his berries.
Well, a lot of them I find on my farm. Various ones I find neighbors' farms. These here, I think I actually found where my son works. They have a small pond, and he said they had a bunch of big blackberries there, so I picked them there.
Listen to other farmer profiles and interviews on our website, eartheats.org. Back to the kitchen where the syrups are ready. Chef Orr is preparing the cantaloupe.
And what you do is you take the skin down to where you see that nice orange color, and you just kind of let that be your guide. But you can save all of these peelings for the compost, so don't throw anything away. And then what a lot of people do is they cut the melon in half and take the seeds out and then try to peel it, but it's much easier to peel it whole and then cut it in half and scoop it out. So just taking all the seeds out, and these will also go in the compost. A lot of times you'll get little volunteer cantaloupes growing out of your compost, and sometimes I just let them go and see if they'll produce anything. You also get a lot of times pumpkin seeds will be another thing you'll throw in the compost, and the next year you'll get a bunch of little pumpkins growing out of the middle of the compost heap.
So that sounds equal parts disgusting and awesome to have melons growing out of your compost. Would you eat something that grew out of the compost?
Absolutely. Well, the compost is used in your garden. It makes some of the best fertilizer in your garden. Okay, what we're going to do now is just slice some of this very thin. In the restaurant, we'd give it a fancy name. We'd call it a carpaccio, which is traditionally done with meat.
The smell of cantaloupe is immediately summer to me.
We get some real good cantaloupe in southern Indiana. There's some good sandy soil around, and perfect kind of summer food for us Hoosiers. Now I'm just going to take that thyme and lime syrup and spoon that over the top. Garnish it with a little flowering thyme, and you can decorate it with some other berries if you'd like. We've got some currants here, a nice kind of contrast to the sweet melon. We've also got some gooseberries.
All right. I've never knowingly had a gooseberry. Explodes in your mouth.
You see, there's two different colors. There's the green ones, which I like them even better than the riper ones.
Yeah, they're a little tart.
Yeah, this is really real sour. And then they kind of mellow out. Here's one of the riper purple ones. It's called a gooseberry, so you take off the beak. You can see it has this little beak, and then the tail. So you take off the beak and the tail before you use them.
They remind me of baby tomatillos. That's so funny. Yeah, they have that same like Japanese lantern look to them.
Uh-huh. All right, so we put the raspberries in a nice bowl, and we're just going to spoon some of this warm mint and orange syrup over the top.
Yeah, still steaming.
Sometimes with fresh fruit, especially if it's a little underripe, if you have one of these syrups and you spoon it over while it's still warm, it kind of permeates the fruit a little bit more. So if you have some peaches that may not be, you know, quite there, or your melon seems a little bit, you know, bland. Sometimes supermarket or wintertime melons are a little bit bland. If you have some of these syrups around that you made in the spring and summer, you can use that all year round and put them over, you know, supermarket fruit, and it'll bring back the flavor of the summer.
I remember one of the syrups you made last time we were here was a lemon verbena syrup, I think, which was absolutely delicious. You put that over strawberries.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's another good one. You can also use that lemon verbena syrup. You could, you know, make a cocktail with it. You could do a blender drink with it. So instead of just adding plain sugar, which really only adds sweetness, you're adding a depth of flavor and more intrigue to your cooking.
Well, that's a good point, that these simple syrups can be used in beverages.
Yeah, alcoholic beverages, or you can just keep a carafe full of one of these syrups and sweeten your tea with it.
Mix and match with other seasonal fruits. Try serving these dishes as a refreshing dessert. Let us know how you use these syrups in your cooking. Or just let us know what you thought of this episode. Drop us an email at eartheats@gmail.com. One more recipe to preserve the flavors of seasonal fruit. Chef Orr picked these apples from the tree in his front yard.
What we do with our apples is we make apple butter. They're perfect for that because our apples are often wormy and knotted and a little gnarly, but they taste awesome.
That's
so
what matters.
That's the main thing. Okay, so in go the apples. Okay, we're going to add some lemon peel. This is going to give you that nice citrusy balance, which will be a nice counterbalance to the brown sugar we're going to put in here. And then I'm going to cut the lemon in half, squeeze in that juice. All right, so we're starting to come up to a little boil here. We're going to add a pinch of salt, which is going to bring out all those great flavors. We're going to add some ginger. Okay, and then to get it all going, just a little bit of cranberry juice in it. Ooh. That's going to give us a little color and a little bit of acidity. And, you know, it makes it so much different than the typical apple butter that's just kind of sweet and apple-y. This has some much more complexity to it, so you can use it for a lot more different things. This would be great with any kind of poultry. You could also use it in a tart if you have a tart shell that's pre-baked. You could just kind of fill that up in there and then top it with fresh fruit of some kind. Pancakes, waffles, all that kind of breakfasty stuff.
You had me at pancakes.
Yeah. And then, so once you have this done, you can just put it in some plastic containers.
Be sure to label the containers.
That's my mom speaking.
Label the containers.
Label dates.
Advice there from two generations of Orrs. Subscribe to Earth Eats on iTunes to get a weekly dose of real food and green living sent right to your computer. Just search for Earth Eats.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop.
Production support also comes from goodsforcooks.com. Online at goodsforcooks.com.
Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.